Okay, so we're holding on Lamed Hey Omud Beis, the fourth line of the wide lines. We learned yesterday about we were discussing the question of when you have a suffix on money, where we had in the Mishnah various cases where one person is making a claim as far as a nezek, and the other one is making a counterclaim to say that he should owe less. So the Mishnah had said in all those cases, but we learned yesterday that Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba says that Sumchus would actually say in all these cases that Chokin, that we divide the money between them. As Tosfos pointed out yesterday, we're talking about where there is, even aside from their claims, there is an inherent doubt over here. You have all the various cases we had. Shimon's animal has been injured. Was it in fact injured by Reuven's animal, or did it scratch itself on a rock or trip over a rock? There was Reuven and Shimon's animal chasing it. Did Reuven's animal injure it or Shimon's, etc.? So then that brought us eventually to a statement of Rabbi Bar Nosson that said, that if Reuven says, you owe me a certain amount of wheat, and Shimon says, I owe you a certain amount of barley, then he's potter. And we discussed yesterday a few reasons why he would be potter. Is it because by Reuven not claiming the barley, he's in effect forfeited it, he's in effect been moichel on it? That was Rashi. You had the Rosh's point that we're saying that Reuven says, that at such and such a date and such a time, there were I lent you wheat. And Shimon says, at that time, it was only barley. So then in that case, it comes out that, so Reuven himself is agreeing there was only one loan. It's not like he's saying, he's not like he's saying, at that time, I lent you wheat and barley. And then Shimon would be counterclaiming and saying, I only owe the barley. Here, Reuven is clearly saying there was only one loan and it consisted of wheat. And then he had the point that Nimuka Yosef had said, that the vote is that if Reuven has not claimed the barley first, then Shimon can say, Meshata Hisibach, I was only kidding you around. I was only joking when I said I owe you barley, and in fact, I don't owe you anything at all. So we discussed that statement of Rabbi Bar Nosson, and we were discussing how it fits with our Mishnah. So now the Gemara says, Gufa, getting back to that, Omer Rabbi Bar Nosson, Tonei Chitim Bohodoloi B'Sodin Potter. So the Gemara asks, "My Kamash Malon, what exactly is this Chiddush? Taneno, we learn that in a Mishnah in Shavuos. Tane Chitin Vahodaloi Besod in Potter. So what does Rabbi Bar Nosson and Amora have to add to that? And the answer is, Ime Hosim, if you only had that Mishnah, have Amira Potter Bidmei Chitin Vachai Bidmei Seodin. Then you would think maybe the Mishnah means he's potter from paying for wheat because the wheat that Reuven is claiming, Shimon is claiming, I don't owe. But maybe he's chayev in the value of the barley, which is less than wheat, because at least he is admitting to that. Kamash Malon, therefore, Rabbi Bar Nosson is telling us, de potter legamri, that in fact he's completely potter. So that we wouldn't have known from that Mishnah. So now the Gemara says, now let's look at our Mishnah and see see whether it fits with this. So before we discuss the Mishnah in connection with the question whether the claims in our Mishnah are Bari or Shema, is each one of them making a definite claim, or is one of them making a maybe claim? Where we said if the Nizik is claiming Bari and the Mazik, who would have to pay him, is saying Shema, then and was saying that Nizik only gets part of it, then that would again contradict Rabbi Bar Nosson, because he would say that you're not collecting anything at all, Potter, whereas in the Mishnah, you'd be saying that he's collecting something. So we ended up saying, because of that, we had to assume that the various cases of the Mishnah, some they're all talking about Shema and Bari, but there's a difference who's claiming Shema and who's claiming Bari. Now let's revisit that and see a different point. The Mishnah had said, "Hoyuan izok in shnayim." We said if there were two animals that were injured, echad gadol ve'echad katan, one large animal and one small animal. Now the mazikim we said were also two animals, so you had four animals were involved in this fight over here, two big and two small, two one big and one small belonging to Reuven, and one big and one small belonging to Shimon. And we said the argument between them is which animal injured which one. Shimon the Nizik wants to say that the big one injured the big one, so that way he can collect his full Chatzi Nezik, and the small one injured the small one, whereas Reuven, the Mazik, is claiming the other way around. Anyway, So we said the Hamotzma Chavel Baraya, he has, if Shimon wants to collect the full amounts that he's claiming, then he has to bring a proof that that's how it was. So again, Holei Maisi Raya, implying that if he doesn't bring such a proof, Shako could Oma Mazik, then he collects in accordance with what the Mazik says. So he does collect something, just not the full Chatzi Nezik for each one. Well, Amai, why would that be? Based on what Rabbi Bar Avuna is, based on what Rabbi Bar Nosson is saying, Chitim was Sa'urin Minhu. Isn't this a case of Chitim versus Sa'urin? Because after all, Reuven is claiming that I owe you out of one animal. Of course, this is Chatzi Nezek. We're talking about the animals are tam, and we're paying only Migufoi. We're paying only from the body of the animal. So in effect, one's claiming wheat, and the other one is counterclaiming barley, and that would mean according to Rabbi Bar Nosson's rule, it would mean that we're not get that would mean that he's not getting anything at all. Where he was saying that he does get half. And the Rashba expands on it and explains, in other words, that after all, we are talking a monetary claim after all. So you could argue it's Moedim Mitzas, but no, the Gemara is saying, in a way, you have to consider it. The claim is, so to speak, against the Shur itself. So we're saying, in other words, so Reuven is saying, so Shimon, the Nizik, is saying there was one kind of Hezek, and Reuven is saying there was a completely different kind, and based on Rabbi Bar Nosson's rule, he ought to be Potter. Yet the Mishnah is telling us that he's Chayiv something. The Mishnah is implying that he's Chayiv something, just if Shimon wants to claim the full amount, then he needs to bring a proof for it. So the Gemara says, Roy Litova Einboy. You're right, it doesn't mean that he's actually collecting. It means he could collect if he can bring a proof, but not. But if he doesn't bring a proof, then he doesn't collect at all. Now, till now, we were assuming, as we learned yesterday, as Tosfos pointed out, the assumption is when we say Hamotzim Echavel of Araya implies something you're certainly going to be able to collect. But if you want to collect more than that, then you need to bring a Raya. Now the Gemara is saying that it's not like that. That we're talking about, what we mean is he could collect if he can bring a proof, but for Ein Loi, but until he actually brings a proof, he's not collecting anything at all because it would be like Tani Chitim Mahoy Deloi Besarim. Now Rashi points out, why does the Gemara have to do that? Why doesn't it just say, like yesterday we learned that there are cases in the Mishnah of Shema and Bari where we had the case in the middle of the Mishnah where Reuven has two oxen, one big and one small, and then it injured Shimon's ox. And we're talking about that definitely then Reuven needs to pay something because there's no question one of his animals caused the hezek. The question is which one. So there we said we're talking about that the Nizek is claiming. So there we said the Nizek is claiming Shema. He's saying maybe it was the large one, and the Mazik is saying no, for sure it was the small one. Or Tam and Mord. He said the same thing with Tam and Mord in the Mishnah. Anyway, why don't we say the same part over here? Why do we need to say Roy Little Ve'enloy? Rashi says because then there would be no Chiddush in this part of the Mishnah. We need to find, after all, if the Mishnah is telling us a whole case over here involving four animals, there has to be some kind of Chiddush. So therefore, it must be that. The Mishnah is saying something else. In this case, Roy Little Ve'enloy. And also Rashi says, now at the beginning of the sugya, we said Rav Chiya Ba'aba had said that you have the opinion of Sumchus and the Chachamim disagree with him always, even in a case of Bori or Bori. So now Rashi says that Rabbi Bar Nosson would disagree with that point. He's an Amora. He's able to disagree with Rav Chiya Ba'aba and Amora. He would say that no, when we said that, when we said earlier that the Mishnah, that at least one case of the Mishnah is talking about Bori or Bori, namely the first case of the Mishnah where Shimon says that your ox injured mine, and Reuven says no, it tripped over a rock or it scratched itself on a rock or whatever, and Rav Chiya Ba'aba had learned that that would be Bori or Bori. Rabbi Bar Nosson says no, that's also a case of Bori and Shema. all of them are Bori and Shema, and now we have that. Now we have, though, now the end of the Mishnah is not talking about that anymore, because then there'd be no Chiddush in it. No, the end of the Mishnah was saying that Roy little vein lo, if you don't even know what the nature of the damage was and which one caused the damage and which one didn't, then you can't collect anything at all unless you bring a proof, because that would be Tanech Chitim Vahoy Delay B'Sari. So the Gemara says, "V'hatanya harezim mishtalim ala cotton min a gadol v'al gadol min a cotton." What do you mean? A Braisa clearly says that he gets paid for the cotton out of the gadol and the gadol out of the cotton. In other words, that we do collect according to what Reuven the Mazik is saying. Reuven is saying that my large ox injured your small one, which means that chatzin nezek is only going to be a small percentage of the value of the big one, and the small one injured the big one, which means that you're not going to be able to collect full chatzin nezek on your big one, because that's going to be more than the value of my tam animal, of the small animal. And the Braisa clearly says that you're collecting for one from the for that you're collecting. So according to Rav Barnosan, you shouldn't be collecting at all. So the Gemara answer is detofas. What we're talking about over here in the Braisa is when the Nizek has grabbed something, like what the Mazik is saying, he's grabbed the animals or assets or whatever that are going to pay for the Nizek. Then we're saying the whole Tanei Chitim V'Hoy D'Lo B'Sarin thing is talking about where no Tfisa has been done. The chitim are the chitim and the sodim are in the respective people's possessions. But here we're talking about where he was toifus. So now we say that sort of gets around Rabbi Bar Nosson's din. And then we say that once he was toifus, then we have different din. Actually, the Rashba points out if he were to be toifus without edim, even then he doesn't even need that. He'd have a migri, because he could say when the other guy is saying, "What are you doing with that shirt of mine?" He could say a migui. He would have a migui to say, "You sold it to me, you gave it to me, or whatever." Here we're talking about he was tofus with Adim, and still we're saying that helps. What exactly the mechanism is by which it works is so you have Rishonim who learn that it means it works only before Ha'amada B'Din, because then he can say, look, in effect, going back to the case of Chitim and Sa'urim, we're saying that Shimon is Potter from paying for Sa'urim, but in this case, Reuven, who's the Nizek over here, stands in the place of Reuven, who's making a claim. He can say, you know what, now that I was tofus in it, I didn't even bother claiming the sodom because I already am muxik in them. So therefore you should have to give me the sodom, because it's one thing if I claim them and you just had them in your possession. But now that I have them in my possession, fakert, if you want to claim you don't owe them, then you'd have to bring a proof. And so the same thing would be over here as far as the two animals. And then that's how the safer Atrumus learns that way. He's medayek from a detail that Rashi says. On the other hand, the Rambam says that it always helps. Because Achronim explain, because the Rambam would say the whole thing is and the whole thing is basically a suffix of mechila. So once he's toifus, then he can say, "I didn't intend to be moichel." And hamotzi mechavel of araya. If you want to prove that I was moichel, then this is following the opinion of Rashi that he was moichel, and that's why tana chitim b'hoi d'lo b'sardim is butter. But here he could say, "I wasn't moichel." Okay. So in any case, so it works if he's toifus. So Rabbi Bar Nosson's din is not applying in that case. Okay, the Gemara says Tanan. Let's look at the next part of the Mishnah. Hoya echad tam ve'echad muad. Earlier in the Mishnah, actually, we said the last case of the Mishnah, where there were four animals involved, but here it's not big and small versus big and small. Here it's tam versus muad against big and small. So hoya echad tam ve'echad muad. Hanizikim muad hizikas hagadol v'tamas hakatan. So the Nizik Shimon says that the muad injured the large animal, therefore I'm going to be able to collect nezik shalim from it. And the tam injured the small one, and therefore I'll be able to collect my full chatzin nezek. The mazik says it was the other way around. So again, holoi maisi raya. So it would imply that if he can't bring a proof, shokel k'da'om mazik, then he collects the way that the mazik Reuven says. So v'amai. Now, why would that be? Again, chitim u'sa'ur and ninhu. Isn't this also a case of chitim and sa'urim? Because there are two different claims. One of them is claiming that he's claiming out of this animal, and actually, since it's a mu'ud, he's saying you wouldn't even need to pay based on the value of the animal at all. You would pay min ha'aliyah, as we've learned before. So the Gemara says, "Roi little vein loy." Again, it means that he should collect, but he's not going to be able to collect at all unless he brings some kind of proof. So the Gemara says, "Well, Tanya harayz mishtalam lakotn min amur v'lagodom min atam." What about a brayse that says he could collect? And the answer is again, the tofas. We're talking about where he grabbed in accordance with what the mazik said. So we're not going to take it away from him again for the reasons that we just discussed. Maybe we're talking about that he was tofas before Hamad Abedin, before they actually went to Beis Din, or maybe we're talking either afterwards, depending on the different rishonim. And we're going to say that that's valid, and that kind of gets around Rav Bar Nosson's din. But if it hadn't been for that, then yes, we would in fact say that he's not going to be able to collect anything unless he can bring some kind of proof, because then it would be tonei chitim mohor de lebesari. Next, we said in the Mishnah, we said if both of the oxen that caused the damage belong to one person, then both of them are chayev, meaning, in other words, this was in the middle of the Mishnah, meaning that the owner is going to be chayev regardless. So, does that mean we can derive from it the following point? Shvorim tamim shehiziku. Suppose you have two oxen that are both tam and belong to one person, and one of them caused damage. We don't know which one it is. Rotsami zeg goiva. It sounds like the nizik can collect from each one, from whichever one that he wants. And the nafkamina of it would be, Rashi explains, suppose that one of them now gets lost or otherwise is unavailable. We wouldn't say Reuven the mazik couldn't say, well, maybe the one that got lost is the one that injured your animal, and therefore since you don't have it available, so I'm potter until you can find it. No, we wouldn't say that, says Reuven Pazikya. It sounds from our Mishnah like we're saying that no, Shimon can say the fact is you have another animal that that may have been involved over here, so instead I'm going to collect from that one. So Rav Ashi says no, hocha ma'eskinan. No, because the Arm Mishnah might be talking about where the animals are moored, where either way he's not paying based on the value of the animal anyway. So the Mishnah is not saying where they're both tam, where he can say I can collect from either one I want. No, we're talking about both of them are moored, and therefore you're not collecting from either one anyway. You're collecting a certain amount of money from the mazik, and therefore the mazik's going to be chayiv regardless. So the Gemara says, Ibn Muwadin, my nafkalemine. Well, so the Gemara says, Ema Seifa, Ibn Muwadin, Ema Seifa. If you're going to say it's talking about Muwadin, look at the continuation of the Mishnah. Hoya Echad Godol Echad Cotton, where we said if one of them was big and the other one was small, Hanizikom Godol Hizik, Vamazikom Loikiel Cotton Hizik. The Nizik claims that it was the big one that caused the damage, and the Mazik says, no, it was the small one. If you're saying that both animals are muadin, and again, we should assume that when the Mishnah is telling us a case involving where there were two of them that belonged to one person, and then it goes on to say one was big and one was small, we should assume that it's talking about a similar case. So if in the earlier case we're talking about that both of them belong to one person, you're going to tell me he's chayev to pay regardless, and because they're mu'adin, you're saying, and therefore by mu'adin it doesn't matter whether the actual animal that caused the hezek is available anymore, either way you're paying min aliyah, then in the next case also you have to be talking about a similar thing. Well, in that case, the ibn mu'adin, my nafkalemine. If they're both mu'ad, then what would be the difference? What would be the point of claiming it was the big one or it was the small one? Safe, made tota malia boy l'shalomi. Either way, he's going to have to be paying the value of a full ox. He's going to be paying nezek shalom. He's going to be paying min ha'aliyah. So obviously, if they're arguing and saying it was the big one, it was the small one, we have to be talking about tamin. So therefore, earlier in the Mishnah as well, it should be talking about where they're both tamin. And that would prove Rav Pazikya's point. But Rav Ashi tells him, no, safer b'tamin v'reisha b'mu'adin. No, the Sefer is talking about where they're tam, and therefore it's relevant to talk about it with the big one or the small one. Udi in the Mishnah, it's talking about where they're both moored, and therefore it doesn't matter either way. He's paying out the same amount of money regardless, and therefore it doesn't matter whether the ox is around. But it's true that if the two of them, or at least you can't necessarily bring a proof from the Mishnah that if both of them were tam and then one of them disappeared afterwards, that Shimon should say, well, I'm going to collect from the other one. No, not necessarily. If you're saying that the earlier part of the Mishnah is talking about mu'adim and it says where both of them belong to one person, what do you mean chayavim? What does the Mishnah mean when it says that they are chayav? Chayav gavra miboylai. It should say the person is chayav, because if we're talking about mu'adim, then there's no chiyuv in connection with the oxen themselves. You're not paying migufra, you're paying minhalia. So the expression should be chayav gavro, chayav mazik, or something to that effect. The two my shnehem, and what do you mean both of them? What does the Mishnah mean when it says both of them? There's no both of them to talk about. Shnehem shal ish echad shnehem chayavim. What do you mean shnehem chayavim? There's no shnehem to talk about, really, because we're not saying that there's any chiyuv in connection with the goof of the oxen themselves. You're paying min haliyah. So that explanation that we're talking about mu'adin doesn't really work. Maybe that proves Roman Pazikia's point that in fact in a case like that where not when they're more than when they're both tam, and then maybe the Nizik is able to say, look, there were two oxen that were involved over here. I don't know which one it was for sure, but now that one of them is lost, I demand to be able to collect from the other. So maybe that proves that point. Tosfos actually points out, so Rashi is saying that that's the Nafkamina, where one of them got lost and then he wants to be paid out of the other one. Tosfos says, not really. We are talking about that the two of them definitely injured a shur. So then what we're saying is, so like this, the Chatzi Nezek would be paid out of both of them together. After all, both of them caused an injury. But now that one of them is missing, that he wants to collect all of it exclusively from one, and Rav Pazikia is arguing that he should be able to, and we're saying now at this point in the argument in the Gemara, we're saying maybe he should taka be able to. After all, both of them did definitely cause the damage, unlike in Rashi's understanding where we're not sure which one caused the damage. So the words in the Mishnah Shneim Chayovin seems to be implying when we have a case where we know that both of them injured, then he should be able to collect the whole damage from one of them if the other one is not available. So the Gemara says no. Ela la'olam b'tamin. No. So actually, we're going to say the Mishnah is in fact talking where both of them are tam, but still that doesn't prove Rav Parzikia's point that he can collect from whichever one he wants. What it means is Rabbi Akiva, because you could say our Mishnah is like Rabbi Akiva, where we learned earlier in our Perek, we had the Machlokas, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. What happens after a sure tam gores? Do we say that, and then now the Nizek is entitled to payment out of it? Do we say, like Rabbi Shmuel, that he's just owed a certain amount of money as though he was a Baal Chayv? Or do we say that he actually becomes a partner in the animal to the extent we say that if the Chatzi Nezek is the entire value of the animal, then he just is entitled to the entire animal, and if not, then he and the Mazik are considered partners in it? So now our Mishnah would be saying that they're both partners in the goof of the Shur. Which means, in other words, if that shur gets lost, then his nezek, then he can't collect his nezek anymore, because he can only collect out of the fact that he's a partner in that shur. So for time into isnur l'tavayu. So therefore, the Mishnah is implying only when both oxen are still present, then d'loy motzi madchile, then the mazik is not able to push him off. He's not able to say that the one that you're a partner in is gone, because not both of them are here. But if one of them is not there, motzi omalei, then the mazik is able to tell the nizik, zil aisi raya dahai torah azkach, go bring proof that this particular one is the one that caused the damage, v'ashalom loch, and then I'm going to pay you. But otherwise, in other words, we would say that, look, you and I are considered partners in the animal that caused the nezek. Right now, one of the animals is gone, and I don't know, and neither you nor I know whether it was the animal that actually caused the nezek or not. So therefore, you don't have a basis to. So therefore, in effect, I can say, look, I understand you were a partner in the animal, but now the animal is lost because of no fault of mine, and therefore I'm potter because you the animal that you had a partnership in is gone. It's your bad luck. So Rashi points out that wouldn't apply according to Rabbi Shmuel, because according to Rabbi Shmuel, he's just owed money, and therefore, so the Nizik would have every right to say, okay, that animal is not available, but you still owe me X amount of money, so pay it to me from a different source. That's according to Rashi. Tosfos points out that we did learn earlier in the Perek, we said even Rabbi Shmuel had said that if the Mazik shechted the animal that caused the Nizik, then it's a done deal, and we say at most he can collect out of the meat of it or something. So Tosfos points out, no, Rabbi Shmuel would agree with the din we just said, that if one of them is lost, then the Nizek forfeits and he can't collect anything because he can't prove that the other animal that's still present is the one that caused the damage. The point is, though, Tosfos says, according to Rabbi Shmuel, there'd be no chidush in it, really, because he's a Baal Chayv, and therefore, once the animal that caused the damage is gone, then there's nothing to talk about. According to Rabbi Akiva, you could say that maybe one of them is already in his chazaka, and maybe we would say, therefore, so now maybe the Nizik would have the ability to say that, no, it was actually the one that belongs exclusively to you that got lost, not the one that belongs to us in partnership, and therefore the Mishnah is implying that, no, it's not so. We are, in fact, going to say that the Nizik is going to have to bring proof if he wants to collect it all. Okay. Hadron Alocha Meniach. Continuing with the next perek now, we're going to be talking more about the dinim of a shur that gores and how the payment is done with it. So the Mishnah starts off, shur shenogach arba v'chamisha shvarim zeach azeh. If a shur gored four or five oxen, one after the other. Now we have to be talking about, because the Mishnah is going to go on to say how much each of them gets paid, and we're talking in terms of them getting chatzi nezek, which means that the animal is still tam. The obvious question is, if it gored three or more times, then already it's a mord. We learned in the second parak, we had a machlokas Reb Meir and the Chachamim, what happens if it gores three times on one day? Does it become a mord? Reb Meir had held yes, the Chachamim had held no. So the Gemara could, so we could understand that our Mishnah is going according to the Chachamim, not according to Reb Meir, and saying that it did all these four or five gorings on one day. However, Rashi doesn't want to do that, because after all, Stam Mishnah Reb Meir, and in general, we try to make a Mishnah work according to all Tanoim anyway. So therefore, Rashi says, even according to Reb Meir, you could have a case where an animal gored multiple times and is not considered more. Namely, we're going to learn tomorrow, Bez Hashem, we're going to learn on Daf Lamed Zayin, that if the animal gores every single animal that it sees, then eventually it becomes a mord. If it does it according to a logical progression, for example, it gores every other animal, then also it would be considered a mord now for every other animal that it sees, and so forth. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to compare it to certain halachas and nida as far as the periodicity of nidus. But now you can have, let's say, Rashi explains that the order in which it gored these four or five was completely random. So it saw one shur and gored it, then it saw another one and didn't, saw another one and did, so far it's gored twice with one break in between, then it saw other animals two or three times and didn't do anything, and then it saw another one and gored, so now you don't really have any kind of, progression like that. You don't have any kind of sequence like that that you could say that now it's every second animal or every third animal or whatever it's more. You just have a kind of a random collection of gorings. So therefore the animal still remains a tam. So now the question is, what do we do as far as the payments? So the Mishnah says, Yishalom la'achon shebehem. First he pays off the last one of them. First he pays the chatzi nezek to the last one for reasons that we're going to discuss in the Gemara. V'im yesh bei moiser, if there is anything left after that, yachzu l'shalafonav, then he returns it to the one before him. So on the face of it, what that means is, we're going to see in the Gemara the exact details, but on the face of it, what it means is, so let's say the shur that caused the damage is worth 1,000. Now you have it gored five animals one after the other. And let's say with each one of them, let's say the damage was 100. So fine. Then you have the first time, or let's say each one the damage was each one the damage was 100 was 100, and therefore chatzin nezek, each one the damage was 100. So chatzin nezek for each one is going to be 50. So on the face of it, we're saying first he pays 50 to the last one, and since there is more value left in the animal, there's still another 950 to go. Then you could pay the second one, the one before him, and then you go back to the one before him, and so forth. And but now, let's say, for example, the animal that caused the damage was worth, let's say, itself was worth only 150, let's say. So then you're going to have the first, second, and third are each going to be able to collect their 50. But the fourth one, which would come out to be the first or the second one that he gored, because he gored four or five, would end up losing out because there's nothing more to collect from, because the entire value of the nezek has been taken up by the later nizakin. The later the nizak, the more he gains, divrei a mayor, that's what a mayor says, that the later ones collect first, and then the earlier ones collect before him, for reasons that we're going to explain in the Gemara. Reb Shimon says that no, you do it a little bit differently. You still consider that the last nizik and all the ones before him are considered partners in the previous hezek. So therefore, Reb Shimon says, here is the scenario: Shor shavam asayim shenogach l'shor shavam asayim ve'ein anavela yofakum. So you have the mazik was worth 200, the nizik is worth 200, and the dead body of the nizik is not worth anything. So therefore, you have 200. The nezik is 200, and chatzin nezik is 100. So zen notal mana, zen notal mana. So far, what we would say is you sell the live ox, the mazik, and each one of them collects a mana, collects 100 zuz from it. What happens now if this ox, which is now owned in partnership, in effect, by Reuven and Shimon, Reuven the original owner and Shimon the first nizik, if now this animal goes and gores another animal belonging to Levi, would also worth 200, now it changes things. Now the last nizik, Levi, is going to be collecting a money, is going to be collecting 100 zuz, because his shur was worth 200. V'shalafanav, as far as the one before him, zen noto chamishim zuz, Shimon, the first nizik, is going to be collecting only 50 zuz, only half of what's left, because at this point, the animal, the mazik, was worth 200. 100 of it is being given away to Levi, so therefore, there's only 100 left of it, and Levi is collecting half of that, which is 50. There's a note of Hamishim Zuz, and Reuven, the original owner, keeps 50 of it. What happens, continues Reb Shimon, suppose that it gored yet another animal worth 200. So now you have Yehuda's animal. Then Ha'achron Noto Mana, the last one Yehuda is collecting a mana. V'shalafon of Chamishim Zuz, Levi is collecting only 50 out of the remaining 100. U'shnayim Rishonim Dino Zahav, Shimon and Shimon the first Nizik and Reuven the Mazik are each getting one gold dinner, which is 25 Zuz. So in other words, Reb Shimon is saying that you keep on dividing it in half, and you keep on dividing, the more nizakin there are, the more you keep on dividing it in half, and each time the later. So he agrees basically with the mayor that the later ones are collecting more than the earlier ones, but he's saying Rameyer had just said the last one collects his entire nezik, and then if there's anything left, then you go back to the previous one and so forth without giving a formula for it. Reb Shimon is saying it's not a matter of who gets first and who gets second. It's a matter of we actually figure out at the time when we go Hamodul Adin, we figure out how many nizakin there were, and we divide the money among them according to this formula. Now the Gemara is going to end up saying basically that the reason why the later nizakin get paid more is because the earlier nizakin in effect become partners in the animal, like we've learned before, according to Rabbi Akiva, and therefore now that they're partners, then they have a certain responsibility to watch the animal and prevent it from causing damage. Tosfos points out, though, Tosfos wonders, I mean, it's one thing after Hamad Abedin, after we've gone to Beis Din, and Beis Din has said, yes, Shimon is entitled to be paid by Reuven for the Nezek, then we can say that Shimon is now considered a partner in this animal and he has a certain responsibility to help watch it. But before Hamad Abedin, before Adam even came, how does he even know he's going to win his case that we should make him liable if now the animal goes and gores Levi, and in effect we're saying we're taking part of the payment out of Shimon's portion of the animal? And Tosfos says, because after all, look, he could bring Edom right away. He could go to Beis Din right away and collect, and he didn't. So therefore, so now, even though it's true there was no Hamad Abedin yet, nevertheless, we would still say that he bears a certain degree of responsibility, because right now he could have made things happen faster and win his case, and then he actually would be a partner in the animal. So even now, we consider that he's already sort of a partner in the animal. Which Tosfos also points out, obviously we have to talk about that he has that capability. Otherwise, yeah, the question, otherwise, yeah, the whole din in the Mishnah wouldn't follow. Okay. So the Gemara says, Masnisin Mani. Now, who does our Mishnah go like? When we're saying that, the later Nizek gets paid more, so doesn't seem to fit. It doesn't seem to fit according to either Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Akiva, the two opinions that we had before about what happens after the Nezek, whether according to Rabbi Shmuel he's just owed a certain amount of money, or whether according to Rabbi Akiva he's considered an actual partner in the animal. If you follow according to Rabbi Shmuel, who says that each of the nizakin is considered a bal choiv, so they don't own anything in the shur, they're just owed a certain amount of money, then what do you mean? Rishon nisko mibalei. A bal choiv, the earlier bal choiv collects first. So in that case, why are we saying here the later nizak collects first? If you follow Rabbi Akiva and say that both of them are considered, now when it comes to Choybis, it actually points out that after all, it's one thing we learned in the previous parak, you could have a case where there was a Baal Choyb and later on there was a Nezek. So we said over there that the Nizek can say, yes, we both have a Shibud on Reuven, but after all, my Shibud is more connected with the ox, because the ox is the one that caused me a Hezek, whereas your Shibud is a more general one. Here, you don't really have it. When it's all Baal Choyvus, you don't really say that. And here, we're talking about they're both Nizokin. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, why should the later one get first and cause the earlier one to lose out? It should be the first one gets first. He could have Akiva done a Torah to Shutfin Fu, and according to Rabbi Akiva, who says that they're considered partners in the animal, so we can understand why. So we can understand a little better according to Rabbi Akiva why the later ones collect more, because then in effect, what it is the earlier ones become partners in the animal, and therefore we're saying that they have that they bear a certain share of the responsibility for the guarding of this animal, and that if it caused damage, then they're responsible. But the question is on the wording of the Mishnah. Hi yesh by Moshe Yachzu l'shalafonav. What do you mean that if it says that if there's any, according to the Tanakama, according to the mayor, if there's anything left after you pay off the last nizik, you return it to the one before him? What do you mean? L'kulam mibayle. If we follow Rabbi Akiva, then we should say that. Then we should say, once we've paid off the last one, where he wasn't considered a partner in the animal until now, then whatever's left is split equally between all of them, because all of them are shutfin. Why are we saying that? Why are we saying that instead we give the last one the full chatzin nezek that he's entitled to, and then if there's anything left, the mayor says that we give to the one before him, and then to the one before him, and so forth. According to Rabbi Akiva, why should you have this case over here where you have Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda, all the nizokin? Why should we say Yehuda collects, and then after that, if there's anything left, then Levi collects, and so forth? Fine, Yehuda collects first, according to Rabbi Akiva, we can understand that, but then after that, Shimon and Levi should be equal in it. Why are we saying instead that Levi ends up collecting more? So the Gemara answers, Omar Rava, lo'olam could be shmol, da'omar ba'alei chovis ninu. In fact, you could say that our Mishnah is, so in other words, in effect, what the Gemara is asking is, why is there even a machlokas, Reb Meir and Reb Shimon? The halacha should be, like, there shouldn't be any argument, and they should both say, like the formula that Reb Shimon, that Reb Shimon is saying, that you split it evenly between all the previous nizakim. So Omar Rava. So Rava answers that. In fact, we are talking according to Rabbi Akiva, who says we're talking according to Rabbi Shmuel, who says that he's only a Baal Choyv, and says that therefore all of them. So then the question is, why is the last one collecting first? Or the Kashalach Achron Achron Nisker Rishon Rishon Nisker Mibayle. You're wondering in that case, why is the last one collecting first? Shouldn't the first one collect first, like any case of a Baal Choyv? The reason is Hochamaiskin Kencha Tofsin Nizek Ligbas Hemenu, because the case of our Mishnah is talking about where the later Nizek grabbed the shur in order to collect from it. So in effect, he becomes a shoyma sachar in the sense that now he's chayev for the nizakin that it does. So we're talking about, in other words, so there was the animal had gored Reuven's animal, had gored Shimon's animal, and now it went in addition and gored Levi's animal. And what happened, well, before it did that, Shimon grabbed a hold of the animal, intending that this way, when it comes to Beis Din, he'll be able to collect out of the animal and Reuven won't be able to say that it got lost or stolen or what happened. So therefore, he becomes a shomer sacher in the sense that now he joins in the chiyuv for nezakin of this animal. So now what happens is, if Reuven owns an animal and Shimon, and then he gives it to Shimon, a shomer, to watch it for him, and really it doesn't matter whether Shimon is a shomer chinam or a shomer sacher or any kind of shomer, either way, then Shimon takes over responsibility, and now if the animal causes any damage, then it's up to Shimon to pay it. So now, in effect, that's what we're saying over here. Now the animal is in Shimon's possession because he was toifus it. So therefore, so now, until now, Shimon would have been able to collect from this animal, but now because it went and gored Levi's ox, now he loses out, and now he has to pay. Levi. And the same thing would happen. Let's say now Levi went and grabbed the ox. Now he becomes chayev to pay Yehuda, and so forth. Now we're saying that he becomes a shoyma socher. The truth is, I mean, the same thing would really work even if we said he was a shoyma chinam. The fact is, a shoyma chinam is also takes over the responsibility. The reason why the Gemara mentions shoyma socher, so Rashi mentions his shoyma socher because, in other words, now he's gaining from it. Now the other guy can't say that the ox is lost and you can't collect from it. Rabbi Nachmanel actually says that he's taking it as a mashgun, and then he becomes a shoyma socher. And the truth is, it would work even if we said he was a shomer chinam. The Gemara is mentioning that he's a shomer sacher because that is the fact. The fact is, he is considered a shomer sacher, and therefore, if the Gemara is mentioning that he's a shomer, we might as well mention that. But the point is, that is why the earlier nizik is chayim according to Rabbi Shmuel to pay the later nizik because he took over responsibility for the shur. Tosfos points out that would only be according to Rabbi Shmuel. According to Rabbi Akiva, you would actually say that no, he's not really a shomer sacher. He's only of the whole animal. He's only a shomer sacher of his portion because he's only a shomer sacher of his portion because after all, he's a part owner of the animal. So in other words, Tosfos says now according to Rashi, it comes out the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon would have to do with, well, was he toifasit or not? If he was toifasit, then you have Rabbi Meir's din. If he wasn't, then you have Rabbi Shimon's din. Tosfos says that no, actually, both of them are talking about where he was toifas, but we're talking only within Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. Okay. So the Gemara asks the Ihochi, Yesh be Moisiv Yachzil Shalafanav. Then in that case, still, what's the expression that if there's anything left, he should give it back to the one before him? So we're talking about, in other words, again. So you have that. So you have the animal gored. So it gored Shimon's animal, and now Shimon was toifasit. Then it went and gored Levi's animal, and we're saying Levi collects first, and if there's anything left, then he pays it back to Shimon. What do you mean he doesn't pay to Shimon? Because Shimon now forfeits everything that he was going to collect and has to give it to Levi instead, because we're talking about it was the exact same amount of damage, the exact same chatzi nezek. Yachzul abayla mi boyle. So the expression should be that he brings it back to the owner, because now that the owner in effect gave it over to a shomer, then he no longer has responsibility, and therefore if there's any value left of the animal afterwards, then he gets it back. So the answer is Amar Ravina Hachi Katani. When the Mishnah says if there's leftover, we don't mean there's leftover in the value of the animal. Im yesh ba moisa ben izaka. What we mean is if there's a leftover as far as the nezek. In other words, that you have the first nezek was larger than the second nezek. So then yachsiv shalafanav. Then the later nezek returns the extra money to the one before him. In other words, what we're doing is that we're saying, let's say, for example, Rashi gives the example. Let's say that the fourth and the fifth one. Let's say, for example, the fourth one's nezek was, the fourth one's nezek was 100 zuz, so chatzi nezek is 50. Now the fifth one's animal was worth only 50, and the chatzi nezek would be only 25. So what we're saying is the last nezek is entitled to collect 25. Now the nezek before him has not completely lost out. He has to take out of the 50 zuz that he would have gotten as his chatzi nezek. He has to take out 25 and give it to the next nezek because he's now considered a shomer socher for the animal because he was toifus it. Therefore, he's chayiv chatzi nezek, but he still gets back something. Because the fact is, the nezek, the chatzi nezek that he's paying the next guy is less than what he himself was entitled to collect. So therefore, he still is collecting something. So that's what it means. In other words, so when we say imyesh moiser means that there imyesh moiser means imyesh moiser ben izakav if the later nezek is less than the first nezek. So then, so now what it means is so and Tosfos adds when it says achron nisko and the Mishnah had said that the later one gains. That's what we mean. In other words, we mean that it means the last one in the chain. Sometimes you could have Tosfos points out you could have an example where the fourth nizik isn't where the fourth nizik is not going to get anything and the third one does. You could be talking about again where depending on how the different nizik can relate in value one to another. Sometimes you could have even the last one can't collect his whole nizik. Because each time, let's say it was the other way around. Let's say the fourth chatzi nezek was only 25, and the fifth chatzi nezek is 50. The last one is only going to be able to collect 25, because then again, he can only collect up to the amount that the fourth nezek himself would have owed. So it is true that so the Mishnah had said ha'achron nisko, but really it depends on the circumstances. Ravina is telling us. And the chen ki also Robin, the same thing when Robin. So far, what are we saying? That the reason for the din, the reason for the mayor's opinion in our Mishnah, saying that the later ones collect more, and Rav Shimon also said something similar, except he had given a formula for it. The reason is based on the idea that the later ones, because the earlier ones, when they're toifus it, become shomerim for it, and therefore as a shomer, then each one of them in turn becomes responsible for its nizakin. So v'chein ki also Robin, when Robin came from Eretz Yisrael, Omar Rabbi Yechanan, he said that Rabbi Yechanan said of the same idea. Mishum pshias shomer naguba. The reason why the Chachamim said this din that the later ones gain more and the earlier ones lose out is because they're considered shomerim, and it's considered that they were shomerim who were careless, and therefore the earlier nizik each time owes to the next nizik after him. So the Gemara says, okay, but my Okimta, so what are you telling me? So it comes out, in other words, Rabbi Yechanan is saying the same thing as Robin. So the Gemara says, but my Okimta, so what are you telling me then, that Rameir is Rabbi Shmuel, that Rameir's opinion is like Rabbi Shmuel, Yehochi Ema Sefer. Well, then what about Rabbi Shimon's opinion? Rabbi Shimon, I'm a Shor Shav Masayim, Shenogach Shor Shav Masayim, Ve'enan Ve'le Yofetlum, where Rabbi Shimon said, that you have the formula each time the later one is getting half of what there is, and the next earlier one is getting half of what's left, and so forth. So you had a shur worth 200 that killed a shur worth 200. They're in an avela yofakum, and the body is not worth anything. Zen no to mana, zen no to mana. Then mazik and the nizik each get 100 zuz. Chozav another shur achar shav masayim, and if it then gores another ox that's worth 200, ha'achar no to mana. Then the last one Levi gets 100 zuz. Fun of Zenet to Hamishim Zuz, Zenet to Hamishim Zuz, Reuven and Shimon each get 50. Because of a Nagach Shur, Shavim Asayim, Achron Noto Manav, Shalafon of Noto Hamishim Zuz, or Shnaim or Shem Dinner Zahav, then we would say the last Nizik Yehuda gets 100, the Nizik before him Levi gets 50, and the Nizik before him Shimon gets 25, or half of what's left, and then Reuven, the original owner, also gets half. Now, our son, Rabbi Akiva, Dama Torah to Shutfihu. That seems to follow Rabbi Akiva, who's saying that we say that, oh, the ox belongs to them as partners. So therefore, he doesn't even have to be Tofus immediately. According to Rabbi Shmuel, we said he has to be Tofus. According to Rabbi Akiva, he wouldn't have to be Tofus right away. We're saying that he's Chayev in the Nizokin. So Reisha Bishmol v'Sefer Rabbi Akiva. Are we going to have a mission over here where one part is according to Rabbi Shmuel and the other part is according to Rabbi Akiva? Now, why can't we say, Rashi says, why don't we just say, very simple, that why don't we just say, Rabbi Meir agrees, why don't we just say, Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Akiva when he was Tofus, and we said that part has to go like Rabbi Akiva because Rabbi Meir's expression in Yesh by Moiser implied that and we said Yachzir Shalafanav, he returns it to the one before him, so we would have to be talking about where he was. We would have to be talking about where he was Tofus. And then the question would be then, all of that works according to Rabbi Shmuel. You have to say that because he was Tofus, then therefore that changes the din and it becomes a Shomer Safer. According to Rabbi Akiva, there'd be no reason to mention that either way. Achron Nisker, and therefore we can't say that. Therefore, there's no way to say that that they're both arguing within Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. We have to say that they're both going, at least Rabbi Meir seems to be going within Rabbi Meir is going strictly within Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, and Rabbi Shimon then was saying is going to say like Rabbi Akiva, but if they actually meant they just hold like Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, they should say so rather than presenting it as an independent machloekas. Tosfos actually points out somewhat differently. Tosfos says that look, even Rabbi Akiva will agree that if he's Tofus, then he is like a shutef, he is like a partner now. So now it doesn't matter which one's reshus it's in. So then you have the question. In other words, like we said before, then why are we saying Yachzir l'shalafanav? We would say that now all the other previous ones are considered equal partners in it. I don't know, another point anyway, Rabbi Tosfos and Rabbeinu Peretz brings a point. If we say that the beginning of the Mishnah is like, if we say that the Mishnah is like Rabbi Akiva, then it comes out there's no real machlokas. Rabbi Meir is talking about where he was Tofus, and Rabbi Akiva, we're talking about where he's not. So then it looks like the Mishnah is presenting a machlokas, so therefore we have to say, so doesn't that come out then? It would mean the beginning of the Mishnah, Rabbi Meir's opinion would be according to Rabbi Shmuel, and the Sefer, Rabbi Shimon's opinion, would only work out according to Rabbi Akiva. So Reisha, Rabbi Shmuel, the Sefer, Rabbi Akiva, and the Gemara says Amri, so the Bnei Yeshiva answered Ein. As a matter of fact, yes. As we had previously in the Masechta, where Shmuel had said to Rabbi Yehuda about a different Mishnah that we had earlier in the Masechta, a shinina, sharp one, shvoik masnis in the tobasroi, set aside the Mishnah, don't try to make the Mishnah work according to one opinion, the tobasroi, follow me, and say that, yes, you have a Mishnah where part of it is according to one Tana and part of it is according to another. Reishu Rabbi Shmuel, v'sefer Rabbi Akiva, at the beginning of the Mishnah is according to Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Meir's opinion, and then Rabbi Shimon's opinion would be according to Rabbi Akiva. So that there's a difference between and that there's a difference in the ratio we're talking about that he was Tofus. So the same way as we had a previous Mishnah at a previous Braisa in the first Perek where we had something like that, where we had to say that part of it goes according to Rabbi Taufin and part of it goes according to the Chachamim, the same way he's saying here you have a Mishnah where part of it is according to Rabbi Shmuel and part according to Rabbi Akiva. We would rather not do that, but we have to do that, says Shmuel, we have no choice. And the Gemara says, Itmar Nami. In fact, it was also said, Omer Abyechanan, Hikdisha Nizik Ikebenahu, the nafkamina between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon would be, what about if Shimon was makdish the shur? So according to Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Shmuel. He doesn't own anything in the shur itself, so therefore he has no right to be makdish it. According to Rabbi Shimon, he could, because he holds like Rabbi Akiva, because he owns something within the shur, so therefore, so yes, it's clear from what Rabbi Yochanan is saying that the machloikas between Rabbi Shmuel, between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon is basically the same as the machloikas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. And that's how it is, therefore, since now the Mishnah didn't just say, Rav Meir says, I hold like Rabbi Shmuel, and Rav Shimon holds, I hold like Rabbi Akiva. So therefore, we're talking, there are two different Tanoim over here. The Tana who taught Rav Meir's opinion held like Rabbi Shmuel and composed the Mishnah appropriately. The Tana who holds like Rabbi Shimon held like Rabbi Akiva and composed his part of the Mishnah appropriately. Which would mean, by the way, since in the end the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, then it would mean that the first part of our Mishnah, it would mean that Rabbi Meir's opinion is not accepted as halacha, Rabbi Shimon's is, and that's in fact how it's paskin by the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, that each later one owns half the animal, and therefore that even if he wasn't Toifus, and therefore that each earlier one, so therefore each earlier one gets only half of what's left. If we have the case where he was Toifus, then yeah, then you would have that he becomes a Shoyim Asachar, and then you have different din. Okay. Now the Gemara is going to get into a discussion of the amounts of money that we're talking about over here. Now, in the Mishnah, we mentioned two different denominations. We mentioned a mana, which is a denomination worth 100 zuz. We mentioned Chamishim zuz, and then the next thing below Chamishim zuz, we said was Dinar Zahav, a gold dinner being equal to 25 silver dinner. So now that's going to lead the Gemara into a discussion now about the monetary system that they had then. Back then, they had two different kinds of coins. We've touched on it before. They had two different systems of coinage. They both had the same face value, but one of them was worth eight times as much as the other. We have Selat Suri and Selam Dinar. We've talked about before. Selat Suri is a coinage from the city of Tsur in the north of Eretz Yisrael, and it was pure silver, or more or less pure, silver. Then you had what was called Selam Medina coins that were made in the rest of the country in Eretz Yisrael, where 7/8 of it was copper and only 1/8 was silver. So you'd have a coin that had a face value of a sella, but the size and weight and whatever of a sella, but it was only worth 1/8 as much. So now the Gemara is going to get into a discussion of what kind of coinages are we talking about over here? So Tnan Hasam, we learn later in the Masechta, Hatekeya Lachaveiroi, when one person is Tekeya to the other one. Rashi explains two explanations, is one that he hits him near his ear, and the other one he hits him on or near his ear, and the other explanation Rashi says is he actually makes a loud noise into the other guy's ear. So he didn't really call him nezek, but he caused him boishas and maybe tsar as well. There are various other opinions among Rishonim what it means. The Rambam learns that it means that he punched the guy in the neck. Whatever the case, noisem lo sella, he has to pay him a sella. He has to pay him a sella. Rashi explains that's strictly for the boshes. Aside from that, he'd have to pay tsar and the other things if those are relevant. On the other hand, the Rambam holds that the sella is meant to cover everything. The Chachamim figured out that the average case of tekeah is going to be altogether the tsar and the nezek and everything is going to be worth one sella. Anyway, Rabbi Yehuda Oimim Shum Rabbi Yisagwili Monen. Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rabbi Yisagwili that he doesn't give him one sella, he gives him 100 sloim. Tosfos points out, I mean, you're going to have, they're holding 100 times difference between them. It seems a little odd to say that, especially since the Gemara is going to say soon that a sella over here means even less than a regular sella. So Tosfos first says that maybe we're talking about a rich person versus a poor person. Therefore, in other words, a poor person, maybe the boshes and everything is less, maybe much less, and therefore the amount would be smaller. So the Gemara says, "Now who gavred the tokel lachavre?" It happened once that one person did this tokea to somebody else. This case took place in Bavel. Now this kind of thing is knas, and you don't collect knosses in Bavel, as we've learned before. However, it's relevant to know if he's toifus. So Rav Tuvia bar Masna, who was the dayan judging the case, he wasn't sure, and he sent a message to Rav Yosef. When we say that he pays him a sella, according to the Tanakam, is that a sella tsori, the kind that's pure silver, and therefore would be worth four zuzim, or sella medina tnan, or are we talking about the sella medina, which is worth only 1/8 of that, and therefore would be worth only half a zuz? And again, the question is not to actually collect it from the mazik because it's in Zimbabwe. We're talking about if he was toifasi. Amalei, said of Yosef Ben, said of Tinisua. Well, you can prove it from our Mishnah. Because in our Mishnah, when it mentioned according to Reb Shimon, you have the 100 zoz, the 50 zoz, or whatever, or shnayim rishonim dinozov, we said that the first two who were involved over here, Reuven, the original owner of the animal, and Shimon, the first nizik, are each getting a gold dinner. So the isakadai of tani tana selam adina. If you're going to tell me that the Mishnah is saying that if you're going to say that the seller in the case of the tekeya is talking about selam adina, which is worth half a zuz, then we'd see, in other words, the tana of a Mishnah has no problem with mentioning denominations of money below a zuz. So niflig v'nisni ad trace of a seller. Then the Mishnah should point out, after all, we said in the Mishnah that the animal gored. Gored four or five times. Here in Reb Shimon's example, we only covered three nizakin. We had the case where the last nizak is getting 100, the next nizak 50, the next one 25. Well, since we mentioned four times, then the Mishnah should at least be mentioning a fourth one. Namely, you can have a fourth one who gets a. So you can have a last one gets a money, gets 100. The next one before him 50. The next one before him 25. The next one before him 12 and a half. So if you say, then says Reb Yosef, that the Mishnah later on is talking about Sela Medina, meaning that the Tana doesn't want to talk about amounts of money below Azuz, then fine, the Mishnah over here stopped at 25, because otherwise you have to start dealing with fractions. But if the Mishnah doesn't mind dealing with such fractions, then why shouldn't it mention? So that shows, in other words, that yes, the seller of later in the Masechta about Hatekeya Lachaveri is talking about a seller Tzori. So therefore, there's no fractions involved. So the Gemara says, Omalei. So the man says to the Yosef, Tana ki roichbo leichel listening to Lezel. What do you think? Is the Tana supposed to go listing things like a peddler? No, in other words, of course, the Tana stops at some point because not because he minds talking about fractions, but because he doesn't have to tell the entire thing. It's enough that Reb Shimon gave the formula, and then from there we can understand ourselves how it would divide further and further down. So therefore, he's saying that's not a proof that I should have to pay, that I, obviously this guy who was Tekeya Lachaber, who was enough of a Talmud Chacham to realize that point. So he's saying, therefore, so you really don't have a proof from that Mishnah that it's a Sela Tzori, maybe it should only be a Sela Medina. So the Gemara says, "My Havyalah." So what was the deal with it? So what did they decide in the end? Sell it Sodi or sell it Medina? So the Gemara says, "Pashtua mehodu amar of Yehuda amar Rab." They answered it from what Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rab. Call Kesef amar b'Tora Kesef Sodi v'shal divrayim Kesef Medina. The rule is, any time when the Torah says you have to pay a certain amount of money, then it's in Kesef Sodi. Anytime when the Chachamim say, because after all, Tosfos elsewhere points out, because when the Torah was given, there was only Kesef Tzori, maybe not from Tzor particularly, but all they had was pure silver coin. And the concept of Kesef Medina came only much later. V'shal Divreim, when you have something that did Abonon, Kesef Medina, then you can get away with paying Kesef Medina, which, by the way, you have, for example, a Nafka Minna of that persists until nowadays as far as the Ksuba. We learned in Masech the Ksubas, and there's a machlokas whether the Ksuba is Daraisa or Dirabonon. So Adar Yemazeh Ashkenazim hold like the opinion that says that that's Daraisa, and therefore we write in the Ksuba the Chazi Lichimi Daraisa, at least for Absula, and therefore we 200 zuz of Kesef Tzori, whereas Sfardim hold that the whole Ksuba is only Midirabban, and they don't have the word Midaraisa in their Ksubas, and according to them, the Ksuba is 200 zuz of Kesef Medina, which is worth only 25 regular zuz. Anyway, the same thing over here. So the nezek of Om Mishnah is Daraisa, so therefore you're paying in Kesef Tzori. But the nezek of Hatekeya Lachaveri, or the Boshes, or whatever it is, of Hatekeya Lachaveri, is only Dirabanan. The concept of paying for Boshes is Daraisa, of course, but the actual amount that it should be a seller, rather than going and figuring out the exact Boshes, is only Dirabanan, and therefore it would be only Kesef Medin. So they figured out in the end that he only owes a half a zuz of Kesef Medin. So the Gemara continues, Amalei Ahu Gavra. So the man says to Rabbi Yosef, Hoyl Pauga Dezuzu. Look, in this case, since the man who was injured, the one who the other one boxed his ears, says, look, since I'm only going to be able to collect a half of those anyway, Loy Beina, then I don't want to. Or I'm going to go demand that small amount and base it. It's embarrassing to me. Nesvila Anim, let's give it to the poor people. Hodo Omale later on that Nizek changed his mind and said, Nesvin Yali, you know what? Let him actually give it to me. Azel for every Bay Nafshi, and that way I can go and make myself healthy. That way I can go get myself some refreshments or something. Now Rashi had pointed out before that he was already toifus the money. That's how we could judge it in Bavel in the first place. But now let's say now we're saying that now he gave it to Rav Yosef to give to the poor people, and now he's saying actually I'd like it back. Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef says too late. Kvar zochu be'aniyim, the aniyim have already gotten possession of that money by means of maimed shloshdan. In effect, Rav Yosef is a gabay tzedakah. So you said that you're going to give this money to the poor people, and you gave it to me. So therefore, va'afgav delas aniyim hocha, even though there's no aniyim over here, anan yad aniyim anan, we the gabay tzedakah, and Rav Yosef was a gabay tzedakah. Rashi refers to at the end of the eighth perek, the Gemara mentions that point explicitly. So Rav Yosef was a gabay tzedakah, so therefore yad aniyim anan, we are considered the hand of the aniyim, and therefore I was zoicha in the money on their behalf, and therefore you can't take it back. Now Tosfos actually wonders, what do you mean? What do you mean that he can't take it back just because of that? Isn't there a different reason that he said that he's going to give it as tzedakah, and therefore he becomes chayev to give it to tzedakah? And so Tosfos says maybe we're talking about that he didn't have the money in his possession at all in the first place, and therefore it would be a davar shalai bala olam. So he has to give tzedakah, but he does not necessarily have to be this particular coin. And actually, then they bring from Rabbeinu Hananel that he wanted to borrow the money and then give a different seller instead. And Rabbi Yosef says that no, this was maimed shloshdan, and therefore you can't borrow the money anymore once it reached the gabbai's hands.
Whenever we have promised money in shul for Shabbos or Yom Tov, when you say you have to give it, even
that's
if it's
true, you have to give it. The point is, on the face of it, you wouldn't have to give one particular coin. You have to give $18 or whatever it is that you pledged. Sure, but you don't have to give one particular coin. But here Tosfos is saying that once that particular coin came to the gabbai tzedakah, then you're not allowed to borrow it and say, you know what, I'll give a different one instead. So the Gemara continues. The Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel Yisoyimim Einan Tzrichin Prusbul. As we find that we find that Yisoyimim don't need to write a Prusbul in order to be able to collect their debts, because we the Beis Din are considered responsible for the Yisoyimim. V'chein Toni Rama Bachama Yisoyimim Einan Tzrichin Prusbul. Rav Gamliel the Beis Din Avim Shoy Yisoyimim Hoyu, because Rav Gamliel and his Beis Din, meaning and not just them, any Beis Din throughout the generation, is considered the father of the Yisoyimim. So what's the whole point of a Prusbul? Is you saying that I'm giving over my chovas to you, the Beis Din, that I can collect them anytime I want? Well, in this case, it's considered as though it's already in Beis Din's hands. So we see that the Gaboi Tzedakah, who are also considered instead of the Aniyim, then therefore when money is given to them, then it remains in their possession and you can't take it away from them. So we'll finish up with this piece with another story. Actually, you know what, we may as well. It's short over here. Let's just do it. The Gemara tells, here's another case involving this tekeya lachaveri, where we just said you're only paying a sela medina, which is 1/8 of a sela tzodi, and is worth only half a regular zuz. So the Gemara tells, chonan bisha tokalei lahu gavra, chonan the bad, that was what he was nicknamed, was, he one time was tekeya to somebody else. He boxed him on the ear or yelled in his ear or whatever the different explanations that we said before. Also, lakamei d'rabona, so the case came to Rabona. So Rav Huna tells him, go give him a half a zuz, meaning, in other words, again, even though this is in Bavel and you can't collect dinei knosis, one point is that maybe what it was is we do find that Rav Huna was in Eretz Yisrael for a period of time, the Meiri points out. So maybe in fact Rav Huna was in Eretz Yisrael when this took place, and there we can judge dinei knosis. Another possibility that Or Sameach brings, that the Nizek is saying to Chanan, you have to come with me to Eretz Yisrael and we'll get it judged over there. So Rav Huna says, look, Chanan, if you don't want to have to travel to all the way to Eretz Yisrael, then give him the half a zuz. Well, havalei zuzam mocha. Chonan Bisha had a worn out zuz where the image on it had been defaced and it wasn't so clear. So you could spend such a coin. People might accept it in a pinch, but people usually wouldn't. So he wanted to give him a half a zuz from it, but loy have a mishtikol lei. He couldn't spend it, and he couldn't spend it to be able to get change. And the nizik didn't want to. Is not going to take half a zuz from it. So Chonon had an idea. He did another tekea, and now he's chayav a complete zuz and gave him this worn out coin. So this Chonon was smart over here, and he figured, you know what? Here I have a way of getting rid of this worn out coin of mine. The chiddush of it is, in fact, that it would work because after all, the coin can be spent. You may not find right away somebody who'll take it, but eventually you'll find somebody who'll take it, and therefore that's good enough. But you see from that it is in fact a half a zuz, we learned before. And we see, by the way, Ben Yehoyada points out that we see why do we continue calling him Chonon Bisha? Why do we continue calling him bad Chonon? Because we see he paid, sure, but on the other hand, he didn't have any charota. We see he did the same thing again right there in front of Beis Din, even in order to pay with the whole coin. So therefore, he shows that he doesn't have any regret on it, and therefore they could call him by such a name even afterwards. Because the point is, a person when later on in the Masechta we learn when a person pays for the nezek, it's not enough to pay. He also has to ask mechila from the other person, and he hadn't done that.